welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com Data Protection Security School podcast sponsored by Tablas. I'm Eric Parizeau, and it's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to engage in some fact or fiction, focusing on the state of the extrusion detection and prevention technology market, including what it's able to do today, how you can best use the technology to keep sensitive data safe, and what market changes may be on the horizon. Joining me today to separate the truth from the tall tales is Richard Betlick, the founder of Dow Security, a consulting firm based in Northern Virginia, as well as the author of several books, including The Dow Network Security Monitoring and Extrusion Detection. Thanks for being here with us, Richard.
Thanks, Eric.
Richard, before we get started, for those who may not be familiar with extrusion detection and prevention, can you give us a brief summary of what it's all about?
Certainly. The idea behind extrusion detection or some of these other technologies you may have heard, data leak protection, intellectual property leak protection, is to get a grasp of what sort of information is leaving your enterprise to be able to detect when something that you don't want to leave the enterprise is potentially passing outside the company and, where possible, try to stop the exfiltration of that information.
Okay, Richard. Let's briefly go over how this works. I'll read a statement, and you'll tell me if that statement is fact or fiction, and then explain why. So let's get started with the first one. Fact or fiction, extrusion detection and prevention systems are focused on securing hardware and operating systems.
That is fiction. If you think about the stack of resources that make up a computing device, you have a piece of hardware, on top of that you have an operating system, on top of that you have some applications, and then you have data which is manipulated by all of those different elements. An extrusion detection device or a data leak protection device is pretty much concerned with the data. You're not going to be adding an extrusion device to your network so that you can prevent someone from attacking services on a Windows box or services on a Unix box. This is more of a collapse of security around data. Now, there are products out there that are in the enterprise rights management space that tend to be more data-focused, whereas extrusion products tend to be more channel-focused. In other words, they watch for channels or services that carry information out of the enterprise. So the idea behind the extrusion product is to watch what's leaving and potentially stop it, whether that information is being carried by someone maliciously or someone is making a mistake by attaching a document that has sales figures and sending it out via email when they really didn't mean to do that.
Okay, here's the next one. Fact or fiction, a combination of properly configured Layer 3 and Layer 4 firewalls along with application proxies can largely do what extrusion detection and prevention tools do.
That is also fiction. The reason I say that is we have gotten to the point where any sort of protocol or service can be sent over any channel that you could imagine on a network. So in the old days where you might be able to definitively say, or at least not definitively, but with some degree of certainty that port 80 outbound was web traffic or port 25 traffic outbound was SMTP, these days anyone can put anything over any service. It's always been technically feasible, but nowadays we're actually starting to see that. This is both a response to improved security and also a response to development of new applications. So for example, you have fairly aggressive applications like Skype, which will pretty much enumerate all outbound channels from the enterprise in order to make a voice call. You have, on the developer side, protocols that are constantly being layered on top of HTTP, such that you can pretty much do anything you want over port 80. So if you're not dealing with a product that is, or a method, or a tool that is specifically understanding what is being sent over the wire, and you simply rely on blocking on a port-based method, then you're not going to be able to control this sort of traffic.
All right, Richard, here's statement number three. Fact or fiction, products that inspect network traffic make trade-offs between speed and accuracy, and those trade-offs can affect how well they work.
That is definitely a fact. Generally speaking, the faster the product you have, the less inspection it performs. And by fast, I mean the ability of the product to keep up with ever-increasing traffic loads or higher bandwidth. So when you have a product, the developers are going to make trade-offs between the depth of the inspection that's done and the speed with which they can do that inspection. And so the less you look at or the less processing you do, the faster you can be on the network. This is especially true of products that are considered to be real-time products or products that are considered to be inline. You don't want, well, at least if you're the enterprise, you don't want these products slowing down business traffic. So they have to make a decision, just how much am I going to look at this traffic before I let it pass? And intruders, or anyone who's sufficiently skilled on a technical level, can introduce various means of obfuscation, such as fragmentation at various levels, whether we're talking at the IP, TCP, SMB, DC, RPC layers, such that a sufficiently robust device should be able to reassemble all that fragmentation, because the end host is going to be reassembling as well. Unfortunately, all that reassembly takes processing power and memory and other resources. So the product has to decide, do I want to truly be fast, or do I want to truly be comprehensive? And most products have to make a decision. They fall somewhere between those two extremes.
All right, we're halfway there, Richard. Here's the next one. Fact or fiction, extrusion detection and prevention products that act as passive bridges are reliable enough to place in line?
I would consider that fiction. I am a very big fan of using technologies that are called bypass switches whenever you have an inline device. A bypass switch is an inline device, or I should say it's more of a inline hardware device without an operating system, that will pass traffic when the inline device, such as an IPS or an extrusion detection product or anything else that you might have that's an appliance of some kind running an operating system and an application, when that inline device fails for some reason, say the power supply goes bad or the operating system that it's running fails or the application dies, the bypass switch will notice that and it will let traffic pass. So while that's not something that you would necessarily want to do for a critical piece of infrastructure, and most people will consider, for example, the traditional firewall to be critical, in other words, you wouldn't want to just pass traffic by the firewall when it fails. For something that's doing more of a secondary inspection and blocking function, like an extrusion product or even an IPS, most people are comfortable letting that thing die and letting the traffic go through the bypass switch. So I recommend bypass switches, even if you have devices that have bypass functionality built into them, because if you want to ever remove that appliance, now you've got to schedule a downtime window. Whereas with a bypass switch, the traffic can always be flowing. Once you put in the bypass switch, it can stay there permanently. And it's just a question of cabling up whatever new inline device you want to add to the bypass switch.
Richard, while we're on that topic, just briefly in terms of network topology, what other advice would you offer in order to make extrusion detection or prevention implementation successful? I know you recommend a comprehensive network forensics device as well, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Eric. What I like to do is, prior to ever deploying any type of, or even considering deploying some type of extrusion product, I recommend that enterprises get a hold of what sort of information is passing out of and also into their enterprise. And a good way to do that is to deploy some sort of passive network forensics device that's just going to keep track of traffic for some period of time that you want to observe, say several days or a week. I like to do at least a week so that you get patterns over the weekend and also during the work week. The idea is that you, once you collect this traffic, you get an idea of what does it look like, what does my enterprise look like? Is it common for people to be using peer-to-peer applications? Is it common for them to be using voice over IP? Is it common for them to be using encrypted channels to be sending traffic? And once you get an idea of what this traffic looks like, then you can be more comfortable trying to choose an extrusion product. Without an understanding of what's actually happening in the enterprise, you go forward to one of these extrusion vendors, and they're going to provide you a whole bunch of options, but you won't really know which ones you need or which ones will work for you.
All right, let's move on now. Next item, fact or fiction. Extrusion detection and prevention products use a blacklist or deny some, allow all approach versus a whitelist or allow some, deny all else approach.
That is a fact, and this, to me, I find sort of funny, although there's really no way around it in a practical sense or an operational sense. Extrusion products, I like to say that they invert the traditional default deny security model, and that's the model that you see with Layer 3 and Layer 4 firewalls. In other words, a Layer 3 or Layer 4 firewall is a product that's going to, by default, deny everything and then let through certain things that you've said are okay. This is practically impossible to do with an extrusion product. And the reason is you can, at least to any degree of granularity, you cannot definitively say what is normal traffic exiting your enterprise. And by normal, I don't mean what ports are allowed. That's something I hope you could do. By normal, I mean what content is allowed. If you could ever get to the point where you could say, this is the exact content I want to allow out, then you could have a whitelist approach, and you could just allow that content and deny everything else. In reality, there is absolutely no enterprise that can do that. So what you end up doing is using the blacklist approach by saying, if I see something that looks like credit cards, if I see something that looks like Social Security numbers, or if I see something that looks like customer information, then I will deny it, and I will let everything else out.
Okay, Richard, here's the last one. Fact or fiction, extrusion detection and prevention products will eventually be merged into access control devices like traditional firewalls.
I say that is a fact. I believe that if you are running a device on the network and it is a security device that is an inspection product, all of the functions that are doing any type of inspection of network traffic are eventually going to collapse into what some people call security switches, or you might just consider it to be a regular switch or a router. And when I say switch, I don't necessarily mean just a Layer 2 device. I mean a Layer 3 switch or whatever. The reason is you're already seeing products out there. In fact, you'll see many reviews where there is a table and it mentions 20 products, and then there are 15 columns, and you have these little check boxes. Does the product do antivirus? Does the product do anti-spam? Does the product do peer-to-peer identification or whatever? And so you're seeing already these, in some cases people call them unified threat management devices, but the idea is extrusion, as far as watching and denying traffic that's leaving the enterprise, is just going to be another checkbox item. Now, I don't necessarily say that this is a good development from a technical standpoint, because in many cases you want a best of breed product, because they're the most capable devices you could have. Well, what's going to happen is, if you're in a situation where you're looking at an infrastructure upgrade and the next version or the next Cisco router you're going to buy or the next Juniper router you're going to buy has these capabilities already built in, it's going to be very difficult to argue with people who have purse strings that you need to buy two separate devices. You need to buy that new router and you need to buy this separate box. And so we're seeing more and more of these network inspection functions being collapsed into devices, and eventually I think we're going to see a complete collapse of all of these network inspection products. I think there's still room for independent products if you're in the forensic space or you're in what you might call the meta administration space. So in the forensic space, because you have these incredible hard drive requirements for saving tons and tons of data, that's not something you're just going to be able to put onto a Cisco router. In a similar vein, if you have products that are taking a look at the sort of the meta state of the enterprise, sort of SIM type products, these things, again, will be outside of all of those various inspection devices.
All right, that's all the time we have today. Richard Betlick of Dow Security, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate being here.
For more materials in our Data Protection Security School, visit searchsecurity.com/data protection. You can also listen to more of our podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Special thanks one more time to our sponsor, Tablas, and thanks to you for joining us. I'm Eric Pariser. Stay safe out there.